The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org. So today I wanted to talk a little bit about loving kindness and knowing what to do in the world, how to be, how to respond. And one way that this can be talked about in a really broad brush is this idea of ethics or morality. How do we not harm others as well as not harm ourselves? And in the context of loving kindness, there's the obvious part of, you know, part of loving people is not harming them. But also, it can be very much loving kindness for ourselves, to not be harming others, to be careful with our behavior. There's a number of ways this is true. One is that if we're going to harm somewhat intentionally, I'm not talking about unintentional harm, we need to have lost some quality of sensitivity or some amount of awareness that allows us to harm somebody else or some other being. Something in us needs to have shut down or, you know, not really be present for what's happening. Perhaps there's a certain type of numbing that has occurred, and as we deny that others wish to be happy, just as we wish to be happy, right? We share this with all living beings. However we define happy, that may be different for a starfish than for us, for example, but maybe a certain type of numbing. And this numbing can be hard to shake off. So it can be whatever caused this initial numbing to happen, whatever we're doing from that place, if we're doing it in a way to protect ourselves or to somehow distance ourselves from the difficulties, it's not so easy to actually get yourself numb and then thaw out at the exact right time and then get numb again and then thaw out, right? Probably all of us have tried some version of that as a way to find a little more ease in the world. It doesn't work as well as we hoped it would, I imagine, for all of you. And I can speak for myself. It turns out not to work very well. There can also be, if we're going to harm others, a certain type of blinders that are on that we're not seeing. Either their humanity or their wish to be happy or the way in what we're doing is harmful. We're not seeing clearly. We're not seeing completely what's there. And just like numbing, kind of blinders are hard to take off too. They're hard to see around. Because blinders sometimes get in place because we have particular views or we are holding really tightly to some idea about how things should be. And that allows us to only see the things that really support our ideas about ourselves or about how the world should be. It turns out that so much about Buddhist practice and even loving kindness practice is about seeing things as they really are. Doesn't mean that's comfortable. It doesn't mean that's easiest. But we will find that security, safety, always lies with truth, always lies with what actually is, as opposed to comfort. If we're always looking for comfort, we won't necessarily always be feeling safety and security. If we want safety and security and a sense of well-being, that lies with truth and honesty and seeing things as they are, as best as we can. Right? We often, right, can't see things clearly, but to have that intention. So a third way, and that if we were to harm others, turns out to harm ourselves, is can be a certain type of armoring, right? We protect ourselves, either literally or figuratively. I know there was a time in my life when I was feeling unsafe, or is that the right word? I'm not sure. I was feeling like just, yeah, maybe unsafe. Not in any physical way. I wasn't under any physical harm. I just was in a relationship that wasn't supportive, and I had a profession that I didn't feel quite aligned with. And so I was just feeling kind of lost. And I noticed that I started wearing all my clothes, had really high necks with scarves and really long sleeves and really clothes and lots of layers. Like I was like hiding underneath my clothes. My hair had to be perfect, you know. It was a, kind of like, you know, just hiding underneath this. So that's a literal way of armoring, is maybe we hide behind clothes. But there are, it doesn't have to be literal. Maybe there's a way that we close our heart, or stand with our arms crossed a lot or something like this. So in order to harm others, there has to be a certain amount of armoring. And that's not so easy to let go of. Again, it's not something that we can just start doing and then stop doing, you know, whenever it's convenient. Or, and again, it makes it difficult for us to see things as they actually are. And maybe one last thing I'll say about not harming others intentionally is it increases our self-respect. And in the Buddhist teachings, there is this, the teaching of the bliss of blamelessness. Right? When you know, like, I did the best I could. I had good intentions. I'm trying to be sensitive to what's happening. Then there can be a certain ease, as opposed to regret or remorse or something like that. Not only is there ease, it can give you a lot of confidence. You can walk into a room, or you can pick up the phone or whatever and know that, okay, you don't have anything to hide. You're doing the best that you can. So it's another reason, way in which not harming another can really support loving kindness for ourselves. Because it's a little bit easier to have loving kindness for ourselves if we're not being bombarded with regret and remorse. So on these evenings, many of you know, here for Happy Hour, we do loving kindness meditation. And so I did this as a kind of an introduction of loving kindness meditation. Of course, is a particular type of meditation, but we're cultivating qualities of the mind. And of course, qualities of the mind get affected by how we are in the world when we're not meditating, right? It goes together. We only have one mind. It's the same one in our daily lives in here. But let's not underestimate how powerful this mental cultivation, this cultivation of loving kindness can be. It can be really powerful. And that's why we do a formalized practice. So I think most of you have been here before. So you'll know that we're going to start doing loving kindness practice. We're going to start where it's easy. We don't need to add one more difficult thing to do on our list to things to do. So we'll start, we often call this person a benefactor, somebody who has supported us, helped us, somebody for whom it's easy to feel warmth, caring, love, respect. Often a benefactor is somebody who has helped you, and you may or may not have an intimate relationship. You may or may not know this person well. They may be a religious leader or some other type of leader that has touched your life, maybe a writer. If nobody comes to mind, some Dharma teachers use and teach using another being for whom it's easy to feel love and softening of the heart. This can be kittens or puppies, babies, these things in which, you know, you can have a warm feeling readily. And then after doing loving kindness for a benefactor, we'll do it for ourselves. And we'll do loving kindness. There's three elements, and not all three elements may be have the same amount of ease or accessibility for you. You may find that one of these three is the easiest. That's okay. You can just, you know, hold the other two lightly, or don't feel like you have to have a master of all three of these. So the first is to visualize the benefactor or the lovable being. The second is to soften the heart or to feel the feeling. I'm pointing towards my heart center here. That's often where I feel it. You may feel it in a different area, but many people feel it here, like a physical warm feeling or tenderness. And then the third are phrases that we repeat, setting an intention, using the phrases to help support a feeling of warmth and care and loving kindness. So we're helping to create the conditions for loving kindness to arise by having an image, a feeling, and the phrases. We're not making things happen. The feeling may not be there. That's okay. We're just creating the conditions. And just because you're not perhaps feeling anything in particular during this meditation period doesn't mean it isn't having an impact on you or affecting you. As I said before, very often we only really notice the effects in our daily lives, maybe not necessarily here during meditation. Okay, so with that as a preamble, let's take an alert, upright posture. And we'll start by taking three long, slow, deep breaths. You can use the exhale as perhaps a way to soften or lessen or let go any tension that readily can be let go. We can check in with different parts of our body. I'm sorry, now that we've returned our breathing to normal, just allowing the breath to breathe itself. Our bodies know how to breathe. We don't have to consciously do anything with regard to the breath. And then we can check in with different parts of the body where there might be some tension, some tightness, some holding. Maybe around the eyes or the jaw. Perhaps the neck has some tightness. See if you can just allow it to soften. And if it can't, see if you can just allow the tension to be there without making it a problem. You can check in with the shoulders, allowing the shoulder blades to slide down the back. You can place your awareness on your back. See if there's some tightness, tension, or the belly and the chest. Our hips and legs and feet. Sometimes we hold tension in our hands. See if we can allow them to relax. And then we'll rest our awareness on the sensations of breathing, just to help us continue getting settled. So if the movement of the abdomen or the movement of the chest, or the feeling of air going in and out of your nose. Choose one of those three, whichever is easiest, most accessible, and just rest your awareness there. See if you can notice the movements that are associated with breathing and give yourself over to just hanging out with those sensations. If you find your mind wandering, just very gently bring it back to the sensations of breathing. And then to begin loving kindness meditation, bring to mind someone for whom it's easy to feel warmth, care, love for. Somebody for whom you have an uncomplicated relationship. You can visualize this person or somehow bring their felt sense to mind, if that's easier. And see if you can notice a sense of wishing for their welfare, wishing for their health and happiness. It may or may not be there. And we'll, in order to help support setting the intention of well-wishing, sending good vibes, you can silently repeat the phrases after me in a way that, and at a pace that feels comfortable for you. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You're welcome to change the phrases in a way that resonates with you or is meaningful for you. Doesn't have to be these exact words. And of course, it doesn't have to be in English. It could be in any language that feels tender for you or is the language of your heart. Again, bringing the benefactor to mind. Or perhaps another lovable being. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Can check in and see if there's a feeling of warmth and care. Maybe a warm feeling in your heart center, or maybe there's another way, softness in the belly or spaciousness in the mind. See if you can feel that, experience it, get to know it. It may also be the case that you're feeling the opposite of loving kindness. If that's occurring, know that that sometimes is what arises when we create the conditions for loving kindness. It's all part of the process. If it becomes difficult or overwhelming, you can bring your awareness back to the sensations of breathing. You can open your eyes very gently, allow some light in, and to remind you that you're here now. Or you might be able to open your awareness really big and wide and allow the non-loving kindness feelings to be there. See if you can just allow them to be there without shoving them away or shaming them away. Maybe you can even extend some warmth. This is the truth of this moment. You're having these thoughts or sensations. So again, bringing the benefactor to mind. And to support any warm, caring, loving feelings. And to create the conditions so that those feelings might arise. We'll continue saying the phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now we're going to expand our loving kindness. What other warmth or tenderness, caring that is there, we can allow it to expand to include ourselves. Of course, we deserve loving kindness, just like everyone else. It's part of our birthright. So just like we did for the benefactor, can you bring a felt sense of yourself in whatever way is easy or makes sense to you? It can be visualizing yourself, maybe sensing yourself here and now. Or if it's easiest, you can remember or imagine yourself as a young child. Whatever way makes sense for you. And we'll say the same phrases, just with a different pronoun. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. You might find it supportive to put your hand on your heart as a way to kind of connect more fully or easier with the heart center. And if it makes sense for you and is simple enough, it can be helpful to say the phrases in tune with your breathing. I'm often saying the last word on the exhale. But this, without making this a project or complicated, I just offer that as a way that may be supportive. Again, bringing yourself to mind or a felt sense or maybe a visual sense of yourself. You can connect to any well-wishing, care, warmth. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And check in and see if there's a sense of kindness, a softening, some warmth, a wish for others' welfare, yourself, your own welfare also. See if we can expand this well-wishing to everyone in this room. We're all supporting each other and practicing. May we all be safe. May we be happy. May we be healthy. May we live with ease. And of course, we don't have to have the confines of this room. We can expand our goodwill, our loving kindness, bigger and bigger. Maybe we can hold in our hearts those of them have been affected by the hurricanes in Texas, in Florida, in the Caribbean, Puerto Rico, and all the places I didn't mention. The earthquake in Mexico City. Can we send them loving kindness and warmth and wish for their safety, their well-being? Then in the last bit of this meditation, I'll be silent. So you can do a practice that feels right for you right now. then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion on your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. And there's so many different ways to look at this. I spoke about it from one way, is one vantage point, one perspective, one aspect is it supports ourselves. It's supportive to not harm others. It's probably not the only reason why we wouldn't harm others. It's just another reason, obvious one, is that as you start to see things more clearly with meditation practice or mindfulness in daily life, you start to see how similar we are. We have differences too, to be sure, but all of us wish to be happy. All of us are trying to do what makes sense for us. Recognize this common humanity kind of helps us to not harm others, because we know what it's like to be harmed ourselves, and we wouldn't wish that on others. But we can use this this perspective of not wishing to harm others as a way to help us make decisions, how we choose what to do, how to respond, how to react to whatever experience we have, or whatever news we receive, or whatever arises. You know, more and more these days we have access to more and more choices, things that we can do. We also have access to more and more information, things that we can respond to. So it can be helpful to have some guidelines of like, well, what is a way to respond that is supportive of you and your community and the wider community, maybe even all of humanity, maybe even the whole entire planet. So in this way, my loving kindness practice can help soften our hearts, which often can help us see more clearly also. It can help us to see how, if perhaps we weren't seeing clearly because we were having some aversion, and maybe loving kindness practice helps remind us, oh yeah, individuals have lots of different aspects to them. They may have a part that really annoys us and troubles us and we find very difficult, but they may also have a part of them that isn't that way. Maybe we don't know that part, but it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And loving kindness for ourselves is a way to respect ourselves and a way to take care of ourselves. And when we respect and take care of ourselves, we can make decisions that support the best version of ourselves. Use the wisdom, all the wisdom that we have. Help it. Sometimes we don't have access to our greatest wisdom, but loving kindness can help us have access to our wisdom. So I'm a little bit torn between having you guys break up into small groups and discuss, or just opening it up for general questions. I'll put it out there. It feels like the room's really quiet. I don't know if that's just me or no. I know I can sense you guys are quiet. So does anybody have a preference that they'd like to voice about small groups, or just we'll keep it here in the big group and we could just have general discussion? People can ask questions about loving kindness. You're shaking your head yes for large group discussion. It's a little bit my feeling too. Yeah. Great. So, thank you. Kristen, you're so fabulous. She already has the microphone. So we'll use the microphone. And do you have some comments about what I've said, or questions about the practice, or questions about what I've said, or something like that? Thank you, Kristen.
Thank you. Is it on? Before we begin, when you were introducing the topic, you mentioned the bliss of blamelessness. I never heard that before, and I was intrigued with wanting to know more about that.
Yeah, I love this, of course, because it has an alliteration, right? Bliss of blamelessness. But it's in the Buddhist teachings, there's like this path, and this is a very specific step. It says, okay, let's behave ethically and morally. And of course, there's some guidelines on exactly how to do that. And then after these guidelines are given, and maybe I'll say that they're given as guidelines and as a way to train. So a way to help support mindfulness and to better recognize yourself, as well as to cause harm. It's not like there's an external entity that's saying, thou shalt do this. That's not how it is. In the Buddhist practice, it's like, here's things to support your life and to support your community. Practice with them, work with them, keep them in mind, with a recognition that you are going to stumble sometimes. And then when you stumble, you examine why, or something like this. Or you examine why and see what you can learn about yourself, and with an effort to like, okay, I know this is a little area for me to think about and work upon. I will say for me, I definitely have this experience. I took one of the precepts, the ethical guidelines, is to not, the expression is like false speech, so not to lie. Not even white lies that we often think that are okay, we just use them for social niceties, but to really pay attention to your speech so that you don't even are saying those things. And this was one of the first practices I thought I would undertake. It was so powerful. I had no idea how many little white lies I was saying all day long. But two, I noticed, like, if I were a little bit late somewhere, I so often would say, oh, sorry, I'm late, the traffic. But it wasn't the traffic. I just was a little bit disorganized and didn't leave on time, right? But I just didn't want to admit that, right? So because I had made this commitment to myself that I wouldn't lie, I started thinking, like, okay, I better leave on time. And then I just felt good. Like, I'm showing respect for my friends. I'm going to arrive on time. I'm showing respect for myself. I'm not going to say these things. And then here's another one that I would say often. Okay, well, I guess you better go. Or I bet you have other things to do now. Or, oh, I have somewhere else I have to go. Or to get off the phone, right? When I just felt like, okay, I ran out of talking energy. I need to, like, move on now. Instead, I would say something like, is there more to say? Or sometimes if they were other Buddhist practitioners, I would just say, I think I ran out of talking energy. I would just say that. They totally get it. Like, okay, that's what happens sometimes. That happens to all of us. But your question was at the bliss of blamelessness. Wow, just this little practice, I started to feel kind of happy. I started to feel happy about this. I started to gain confidence. Like, look, I can do this practice. I wasn't perfect at it, right? It's a training. It's something that we undertake, and then we just notice when it doesn't work. So I gave some of my example of how I experienced this. But this idea of the bliss of blamelessness is consistent with other aspects on this path of practice towards greater and greater freedom. There's always a movement towards joy, towards happiness, towards well-being, towards peace. If you're not finding that that's what's happening with your practice, then you need to check in with your practice about views you may have or things that you're doing or not doing, because that is a definite focus and kind of an underpinning of this practice. More and more well-being, happiness, ease. There's lots of talk of joy. There's lots of talk of happiness in the Buddhist scriptures about, you know, how to practice. That was a very long answer, but was that helpful? Great, thank you. Anybody else have a comment? Yes. Can we like kind of move the microphone? Can it migrate that way?
Hi. when you speak about loving kindness for someone else or even ourselves, and the feeling of warmth after a while, the feeling of warmth, I feel that. And I wish the person joy, and I feel all of that, and I feel the warmth. But with that comes a lot of sadness. It's for someone I love dearly, so it's, the sadness comes from worrying that they're not well. You know, what if they're not well? I guess that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Or when I say those things about myself, I know that I'm not always at peace or at ease or all of that. So there's a lot of sadness.
Yeah, this isn't unusual. It's for exactly this thing. If you're wishing well, warm wishes, then the opposite comes up. Like, oh, all those times that this person maybe didn't have safety or happiness or health or ease. So there's a few things you can do. One is just allow it to be there as best you can, right? It's not a mistake. It's what's happening. And this practice is a purification, quote-unquote, practice as well. It's just natural that the opposite things come up. And hold them as best you can. And maybe if you feel, if yourself are feeling sad, is it because you're bringing to mind, maybe you said this, ways that they...
It's not the opposite of the kindness. I mean, it's not the opposite of I want joy for her. And it's not specifically thinking, oh, she's not, you know, she's sick, so I'm sad. It's, I don't know where,
Yeah. Maybe it's, I don't know for you, but it could also be sometimes when we soften our hearts, there's all kinds of stuff in our hearts. And just as I was talking about earlier, right, we may have armor or blinders or things, and we start to soften what's behind there. Sometimes, you know, starts to leak out a little bit, and maybe that can be okay. If you can, as best you can, just that's the truth of what's happening, and you feel a tenderness. Maybe is it maybe a poignancy too, that wish this person, maybe with love sometimes, has a little, is that in there? Yeah, it's beautiful. This is part of the human experience, is having this tenderheartedness that's so close to so many other feelings too. And we can just allow it to be there as best you can. It doesn't have to go away. It doesn't have to be different. It doesn't have to be a problem. Just... It doesn't interfere with the well wishes, right? It's part of well wishing. It's part of being with... I keep on coming back to this idea, being with the reality, being with the truth of what's actually happening. It's a way of kind of honoring and respecting your own experience. And that tenderheartedness, that poignancy, that is such a powerful way. If we can use this to help guide us in our lives, like where it can help from this place, you can often feel the truth of things that sometimes you can't feel if you're busy doing things or trying to protect yourself. But from this tender-hearted place, we may understand things in a different way. Things may become clear. But it's also something to be respected and also to be... what's the word? I'm going like this. To be taken care of, too. Sometimes if you find yourself feeling really tender-hearted, it can be really helpful to spend a little time in nature. To just... For me, I like to hang out with the trees. I don't know what it is. It's about trees. I just somehow feel a little bit better. It's not like I'm doing anything in particular. Or to go for a walk or for a cup of tea. Just allow these things to arise. And they may have some intensity, and then just allow them to pass away in their own way without making them a problem. It's part of the human experience. And you can use it to help you guide your life. It's a beautiful thing if you have access to tenderness. Okay, so I went a few minutes over. I'll stay here if others have some questions. Otherwise, I wish you all safety, happiness, health, and ease. Thank you.